Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is the show that gets to the bottom of it, the bottom of the bottom of the bottom. That's why you listen to it. Hopefully you're understanding that. You got to hear it again and again and again, because this education, these educational shows I do on radio, they run deep. Thus, we have the archives so you can listen to them again and again and again, because you need to. My dream is to get you more educated, because then I don't have to work as hard. There's the agenda. This is a show, this is a radio series about thresholds. And what the 119 shows are about are thresholds, crescendos in health. So on one end of the spectrum, we ask ourselves, what's the quick fix herb that we can use to get rid of the symptom? And hopefully you get off that easy. When you don't, you got to get educated all the way to, well, healing. Healing for some of you is almost like a PhD of its own. You have to master yourself, your psyche, your structure, your nutrition. You have to have mastery of your subject to deliver you to the other side. And so in a sense, then, healing is about thresholds or crescendos. Now, what do I mean by a threshold? Well, when your pH gets consistently alkaline, you try the Carl, that wonderful product, the Carl Legend, ionized calcium. You associate it to an aloe, brings it into the bloodstream a little bit faster, and you hope your pH shifts, and it does or it doesn't. When it doesn't, you change your diet. When it doesn't, you begin a bunch of lifestyle changes, fixing the teeth, so on and so forth. Even if you're guessing, at least you're moving in the right direction. And that pH eventually shifts to that glorious morning where midstream urine and that pH paper comes up green and nobody cares but you. But that's all you need. That's a crescendo. That's a threshold moment. When you start to sleep straight, when in the beginning you're up 4 to 5 times a night, and then that glorious day, that glorious night when you realize, gee, I sleep straight. That's a crescendo. That's a climatic moment. That's a pivotal shift. You're on your 10th enema, your 15th enema, your 20th enema, your 25th enema, your 30th coffee enema. You still haven't seen that green stuff in the toilet bowl, and then boom, it comes down, and now you understand what these coffee enemas are all about. That's a crescendo. Well, here's the crescendo among crescendos. It's called the day you open your breath. Today's story is the story of breath. My point is, breath is one of the great, if not the greatest, crescendo. So let me get extreme. Don't talk about your health. Don't talk about curing your illness until you open your breath. You must attach to a physical, visceral experience of that. You have to do that. You can't let this notion of opening your breath stay somewhere up in the ionosphere, a figment of your imagination, something you nod and smile at. That's only in your mind, but not in your body. Don't let that happen to you, because you're missing out. You're missing out on something that really does tie the room together. Anyone that's been to my office here in Costa Mesa sees that great, wonderful picture of Jack LaLanne at Venice Beach in the 1940s. He's on top of about three other men, and they're standing in one of those totem pole sorts of configuration that acrobats do. And there he is, an icon, a legend, Jack LaLanne. But do you remember back then, when we were all toddlers, Jack LaLanne would tell people to take that breath. You know, breathe deeply. This whole thing about breath. This is a Western sort of a misconception that breath is you just inhale deeply. And you fill your lungs with breath, and that's breath. If you think that's the case, please lose that misconception. That was our innocence. So many may have contributed much along the way, but if we were left, or you were left, or our culture was left in the United States of America with this idea that you just breathe deeply so your rib cages expand, and that's exactly what constitutes a good breath, please don't think that. That has nothing to do with opening your breath. Nothing whatsoever. What opening the breath has to do with is an experience that almost equates to trying to explain somebody what pregnancy and birth is. In that if you've never had a birth, how are you supposed to relate to the phenomenon? Ladies, do men understand birth? How can they without the experience? They can be around it, they can cultivate it, they can watch it, but they're not going to experience it. This is kind of the problem with breath. So you're going to have to forgive this inequity in the descriptions today. When someone takes a breath, a true diaphragmatic breath, chemicals are produced. I'm going to call them God chemicals. Yes, you produce endorphins. Endorphins and cephalins, dynorphins, chemicals we don't even understand yet, that put you in the high state of mind. Breath is supposed to alter your state of consciousness. Very dangerous words for people of a limited perception of reality. A statement like that tends to scare people. Or it just leaves you interested, and yet your experience of that is so distant that the word breath alters consciousness is something you hear, and you're glad to just let it stay up there in the ethers without it having any real impact and phenomenon upon your life. Well, I am here today to tell you that it's going to have an impact not just upon your life, but your health, the physiology of the cell biology, the way the DNA configures, the way the genes express or don't express, your mitochondrial outputs, your infective, anti-infective capacities, the ability of your cell to generate its own antioxidant systems through the glutathione, all the contortions of the membranes, all the blebs, bleebs, and blobs of everyday cellular life are intricately connected to the breath. So this isn't something you get out of. This is something you suffer by if you don't have a visceral experience of breath. Animals have it. You don't know they're having it. You don't realize when your dog yawns and your cat yawns and then rolls its eyes and then rolls its spine that it's doing something related to its breath that gives it superior health. All right, let's cut the theology and get straight to it. Let's follow that molecule of breath up your nose. If it goes up your nose, you at least start in the right track. If it's going down your mouth, if breath is going down your mouth because it can't go up your nose, you're out of the race to begin with. That's a serious potential illness on the way. If breath does not go through the nasal passages and instead goes down the mouth because the nasal passages are blocked, the septum's deviated, there are nasal polyps, your nose is stuffed, your sinuses are infected, whatever it may be, breath must go up the nasal passages, not down through the mouth, because if breath goes up through the nasal passages, and again, you're going to have to get to the website. straighttalk.cc, straighttalk.cc, not .com, two T's, straighttalk.cc. Get to the radio literature section. Those of you who know the show, you're already there. If you're new to the show, straighttalk.cc, and just get to the radio literature section. There's a tab on the top. Click the tab. I've got about 45, 46 pictures for you. Every one of them selected this morning. Every one of them is important to this show. If breath goes up the nose, up the nasal passage, and if you're going to follow it on the website, then you're going to look at picture number 32. Picture number 32. You're going to see the picture of a face and a nose. And just picture air going up that nose to what we call the ethmoid bone. Again, you've got a multitude of bones of the skull. Each of those bones comes apart. If on the website you look at picture number 19 or picture number 18, there's a number of pictures there, including 18, where you can see the bones of the skull separating, 17 and 19. So we can say that the bones of the skull are the frontal bone, the parietal bones, the occipital bones, the lacrimal bones, the mandible, the maxillary bones, the ethmoid bone, the sphenoid bone. And you can look at a picture of someone's skull. But if you look at page 7, picture 17 or picture 19, you can see those bones separated. Each bone separates to a separate bone. That's very important for you to understand. It's even better if you can get a pictorial view of that. And the reason is, when air goes up through the nostril, it's going to hit the ethmoid bone. Again, if you take a look at picture number 29 or picture number 30, you're going to see where the arrows point in the skull. That if the nose, if the air goes up through the nostrils, it finally hits a place in the ethmoid bone where there's a sinus. And just as it goes through that bone onto the other side of your skull where your brain sits, it goes through a bunch of tiny little holes. These tiny little holes are called the cribriform plate. You can see pictures of that where the arrow is on picture number 29. Picture number 30. You can see the cribriform plate where each picture points to it in that open plate of the skull. Now, this is a key essential understanding here, in that as the air goes up through the nostrils, it's going to hit the ethmoid bone, and the air, the vibration of the air, this is where the genius is. The vibration of the air is going to pass through the holes in that bone. It's going to pass through the cribriform plate, and it's going to start to tickle what's on the other side of that plate, which is the base of your brain. So if you're looking there at picture number 29 or picture number 30, understand that we pulled your brain out. Those of you on the road who don't have the pleasure of the computer, if we took off the top of your skull and pulled out your brain, if we took off the top of your skull and pulled out your brain, when you inhale through the nose, that air goes through a bone right in the base of your skull. And that vibration through this sponge-like cribriform plate, this sinus, that air starts to rustle the underside of your brain. Now, all of you know, if you've listened to this show before, that your brain is surrounded by dural tissue. Picture number 34, picture number 35, picture number 36. That air goes up through the nose, through the cribriform plate, and on the other side of that cribriform plate, it tickles the underside of the skull. But your brain, which it's going to start to tickle, is wrapped in dural tissue.